السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخ.
عامر حاوي ايه؟
فالحمد لله سلام. نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. In continuation of our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we are on the chapter Babul La'an, the chapter regarding those who regularly curse others. And we have explained that cursing does not necessarily mean that when it happens once, then it becomes that individual is La'an. No, Al-La'an is the one who does it all the time. It does it all the time, so much so that it becomes like a character for him. The way you will describe him to be tall or slim or chubby, that is the same way you will say, oh, he curses a lot because of how much that person curses others. This kind of a person is the one that is referred to as La'an. And we read previously that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا اللعان. ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا اللعان. It is not from the attribute of the person with sound iman that he is ta'an. He is the person who abuses and insults the rest of the people. ولا اللعان. Neither will he be the person who is used to cursing people and raining curses against them. In the last class, we read Hadith 316 and 317. In Hadith 316, the Hadith came from Abu Darda, Umair ibn Zayd al-Ansari, radiallahu anhu, Abu Darda, who said that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, إن اللعانين لا يكونون يوم القيامة شهداء ولا شفاعة. إن اللعانين. Certainly those who are used to cursing the people, who are used to begging Allah to distance people from His mercy. People who do this a lot, they do it repeatedly and it becomes a trait for them. They are just always cursing the rest of the people. لَا يَكُونُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شُهَدَىٰ. On the day of Qiyamah, they will not be from those who will give witnesses, because witnesses shall be given on the day of Qiyamah. From the things of honor on the day of Qiyamah is that the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad والسلام, will be شُهَدَىٰ عَلَى النَّاسِ. They will witness over the rest of the people. The witness for the people of Musa, the witness for the people of Isa, the witness for those who have come before them. Oh Allah, these people came and they delivered the message, even though the people rejected the message. So they would not be shuhada. They would not gain from this honor. They would not gain from this noble act on the day of Qiyamah to be on the side of the past prophets by way of affirming that those prophets actually delivered the messages. Those who curse the people regularly on the earth, they would not be in this noble condition on the day of Qiyamah. Wala shufa'a. Likewise, they would not be amongst those who will intercede. Like we mentioned yesterday, some of the Muslims, because of their evil deeds, they would have to be punished by Allah inside the fire. But the Muslims who were their brothers too will beg Allah and intercede for them to be released from the fire and they will be released. This is from the aspects of Ash-Shafa. And another aspect of that is that even those who may be due to be entered into the fire, they will have others amongst their brothers, amongst the Muslims who, while they were on the earth, who would say, Allah, these people, we used to observe the Salah together. We used to perform Hajj together. We used to make Umrah together. Forgive them, O Allah, forgive them. They will intercede for them. They will give Shafa'ah regarding them, and they will not be entered into the fire. Those who are used to cursing the people, who are used to asking Allah to distance the people from His mercy, they will not also be in this noble condition on the day of Qiyamah. All of these go to seriously discourage a Muslim from this negative trait of being a curser. He will curse and curse and curse and curse. We also recall that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا ينبغي للصديق أن يكون لعانا. لا ينبغي للصديق أن يكون لعانا. It is not an appropriate thing. There are two different things. That somebody is a siddiq, is a truthful and honest person in his speech, in his character, in his mind, is a person of truthfulness. And then at the same time, he takes to this negative attitude of cursing and cursing and cursing repeatedly and regularly. He curses. This cursing and repeatedly doing so negates the good positive attribute of being a siddiq, a person of truth and honesty. It contradicts truthfulness and honesty that a person is a la'an, is a person who will regularly curse the people and curse the people and curse the people. And from the things that have been said regarding how our deen discourages Allah. From the things that have been said regarding how Islam discourages being a la'al, a cursor, is this narration in Hadith 318 that we shall start the class with today. In 318, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he said, Haddathana Muhammad ibn Yusuf, قال حدثنا سفيان عن الأعمش عن أبي الظبيان عن حذيفة قال ما تلاعن قوم قط إلا حق عليهم اللعنة ما تلاعن قوم قط إلا حق عليهم اللعنة. الإمام البخاري صلى الله عليه رحمه الله حدثنا Muhammad ibn Yusuf, that is his eminent teacher, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Yusuf Al-Firyabi. Muhammad ibn Yusuf Al-Firyabi Abu Abdullah was one of the teachers of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, who was so well respected. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari used to say regarding his teacher, Muhammad ibn Yusuf, that وَكَانَ مِنْ أفضل أهل زمانه. Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Firyabi Abu Abdullah, al-Imam al-Bukhari himself would say regarding him that كان من أفضل أهل زمانه, كان من أفضل أهل زمانه. He was from amongst the most noble, amongst the people in his time. Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Firyabi was the teacher of al-Imam al-Bukhari, and al-Bukhari would say that he was from among the best of the people in his time in terms of their knowledge and sticking to the sunnah. And al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, كَانَ الْفِرْيَابِ رَجُلًا صَالِحًا. Al-Imam Ahmad said, كان الفريابي that is الإمام محمد بن يوسف أحمد بن حنبل سيد رحمه الله كان الفريابي رجلا صالحا الإمام الفريابي was a righteous person the righteous person رحمه الله محمد بن يوسف he reports this hadith from الإمام سفيان he reports this hadith from سفيان and that is الإمام سفيان الثوري رحمه الله who is reporting from another imam سليمان بن مهران الأعمش so you have a link full of a'imma noble very eminent amongst the people of knowledge and sunnah the first of them Muhammad ibn Yusuf al-Firyabi Imam Ahmad said rahimahullah regarding him كان الفريابي رجلا صالحا and his teacher in this hadith was al-Imam Sufyan ibn Sufyan al-Thawri Sufyan al-Thawri ibn Sa'id rahimahullah was from amongst the first of the people to be referred to as Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. He is the Shaykh of Al-Firyabi, Muhammad ibn Yusuf in this isnad. And his own Shaykh, the Shaykh of Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri in this isnad, was another Imam, Sulaiman ibn Mihran, popularly referred to as Al-A'mash amongst the scholars. So he is reporting from Abu Zabiyan, and Abu Zabiyan is Hussein ibn Jundub al-Kufi, rahimahullah. Hussein ibn Jundub al-Kufi was the student of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, radiyallahu anhuma, was Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. The ulama also used to refer to Hudhayfa as Sahibu Sirri Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the one to whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would keep his secrets. Sahibu Sirri Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, the one with whom or to whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would confide. That was Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. He was a very, very noble person, very knowledgeable amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. It was to Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiyallahu anhuma, that the companions, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to mention the names of the munafiqeen. The Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, used to confide in Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman and mention to him the names of the munafiqeen. The Prophet والسلام, also used to tell him, time by time, step by step, the events that would occur between his time and the last hour, the day of judgment. Step by step, step by step. Hudhayfa used to get that information from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hudhayfa was also known to always ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for things that are destructive. He would go to the Prophet and say alayhi salatu wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhu. Hudhayfa would ask the Prophet that kana nas yas'aluna ani al-khayr wa kuntu as'aluhu ani al-sharri. The people used to ask the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam about goodness. How many rak'at should I perform? How many tasbihat should I make? How many sujood should I make? How many? How many sadaqat should I make? How should I fast? How should I make hajj? How should I make umrah? وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. But as for Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, he used to ask the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam about evil, مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي, out of fear that he may be consumed in evil. So if you knew what was evil, he found it easy to abstain from evil, because the one who does not know evil falls into it. So very commonly a man would ask about negative things so that he could abstain from it, radiallahu anhu. And he was true to that. His life was filled with abstinence from fitna. The life of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu was filled with abstinence from fitna, abstinence from trouble, abstinence from tribulations. Hudhayfa regularly abstained and avoided fitan, radiallahu anhu. It was Hudhayfa who said in this asar that we are reading hadith 318 in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and the isnad is sahih. He said, radiallahu anhu, ما تلاعن قوم قط إلا حق عليهم اللعنة. ما تلاعن قوم قط إلا حق عليهم اللعنة. قوم, a group of people, do not make تلاعن. التلاعن is mutually cursing one another. التلاعن is what? Mutual cursing of one another. This people curse the other people. Or that the ruler, he curses his people, and then the people curse him, they curse themselves, and then they curse these ones, curse themselves, these ones, curse themselves. Or in a family, we have found these two in many families. You see this one cursing the group of people in the family, they curse these people, these ones also curse these people, these ones curse those ones curse those ones. Maybe a man has a wife or he has two wives, and some of the children are lying on two sides of the home. These people curse these people, these ones curse these people. Ma tala'ana qawmun qattu. A group of people do not begin to curse themselves. Illa huqqa alayhim la'na. Except that that curse becomes affirmed with them. When they begin to mutually curse themselves, the curse becomes a truth. Huqqa alayhim. It becomes established with them. It becomes affirmed for them that the curse comes upon them when the people begin to mutually curse themselves. حُقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ اللَّعْنَةُ اللَّعْنَةُ ثَبَتَتْ أَوْ تَثْبُتُ فِيهِمْ. The curse comes and becomes established amongst them. These groups of people, they curse themselves, of course, and so on. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhuma, he said, مَا تَلَاعَنَ قَوْمٌ إِلَّا حُقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ اللَّعْنَةُ. No group of people mutually curse themselves except that that curse becomes established amongst them. And this is what you find in a lot of places. People curse themselves and then the curse becomes established amongst them. This one curses this one. It will not be good for you. The other one to say, it will not be good for you, for your family. The other one also says, it will be bad for you. The other one also goes back to say, you will be bad, bad, bad. The other one comes back, except this evil and bad, bad, bad becomes established amongst them. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhuma, said, مَا تَلَاعَنَ قَوْمٌ قَتُّ إِلَّا حُقَّ عَلَيْهِمُ اللَّعْنَةِ. No group of people mutually curse themselves except اللَّعْنَةُ to becomes established amongst them. May Allah protect us. From the aspects of these, like we've been mentioning, is that a group of people begin to curse their leaders. When we discuss at-ta'an, abuse and insults, and how evil it is to be a ta'an, how evil it is to be an abuser, a defamer, someone who goes about belittling others and denigrating them. When we discuss that, we said parents do it to children. They abuse their children, they denigrate them, they belittle them, they abuse them. And their parents should stop it. Friends too do it amongst themselves. You see two friends, they abuse themselves, they disgrace themselves, they abuse. In fact, for some friends, they take it as a thing of play. The play amongst them is that they mutually abuse and insult themselves. So you find this kind of a thing. Some of them, it is classmates insult and abuse themselves and consider it normal. We have said that in Islam, it is prohibited to abuse the people. And you will see and hear the advice that the Prophet alayhi salatu salam gave to Jabir ibn Sulaym in the hadith we read from Sunan Abi Dawud yesterday. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised Jabir ibn Sulaym. He gave him a parting word, parting counsel. He said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tasubbanna ahada, do not ever insult anyone. It was the first advice and the last advice. It was the first advice and the last advice. The last advice, the fifth advice, he said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa in imru'un shatamaka wa ayyaraka bima fik. If a person begins to shatamaka, begins to insult you, abuse you, with shaking, with something that is with you, you have that thing truly. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, fala tu'ayyirhu bi shay'in fi. Do not come to begin to insult and abuse him with something that he has. This is also going to make us understand that people should not trade insults and abuse. Because the person abused you does not mean that you should abuse him. The Prophet counseled against that, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, fala tu'ayyirhu bi shay'in fi. Do not go on begin to insult him, abuse him because upon something that he has. He called you big head and he has big ears. Don't say, oh, my own head is big. Your own ears are big, like the ears of an elephant. These kinds of things are very common. In fact, I remember vividly as children, there used to be abuse competition amongst children. Abuse competition. Abuse me, let me abuse you, let's see. And then our friends will be there. One of them will say, with your big head, like so, so, so. They will not, oh, the other one will reply, with your pointed nose, like so. It's very common in Niger, there in South. Mutual abuse. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa in imru'un shatamaka wa ayyaraka bi shay'in fik. If someone shatamak insults you and abuses you with something that you have, do not say that in respect. And now we are seeing it from the author of Rayf ibn al-Yaman, that the same thing we have to do regarding abuse is the same thing we should do regarding cause. So he said, radiallahu anhu, ma tala'ana qawmun qattu illa huqqa alayhimu al-la'na. People do not mutually begin to curse themselves, إِلَّا حُقَّ عَلَيْهِمْ, except that the lana itself becomes established with them. That curse, the curse themselves, becomes established with them. So I wanted to say that it is easy for us to accept when we mention this regarding a husband and a wife. A man should not go on cursing his wife. The wife should not also go on cursing the husband. When they do that, that curse becomes established amongst them in their home. So they become a husband and a wife living in an accursed home. Husband and wife in an accursed home. It can also be between two brothers. When they curse themselves, they begin to live in an accursed environment. So it happens like that. But there is one aspect of this matter that we have also taken largely for granted, because it is common amongst non-Muslims. And that is abusing and cursing our rulers. Abusing and cursing those who rule us. Muslims too now see it as something that is normal, because it is common amongst the non-Muslims. A Muslim should not curse and abuse the other Muslim, even if that thing is with him. Don't curse and abuse your brother. Don't belittle your brother. Don't denigrate your brother. Even if he has that thing with him, there is a big difference between insult and nasiha. You want to advise him, that one has a rule. It has rule, it has manners, it has condition, it has how to go about it. Advice, nasiha, It has expressions that you will employ. Adinu nasihaku, your brother is upon a particular fault. You want to call his attention. There is the way to do that. And that's why Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he has an entire book on that, on the difference between al-nasiha and al-ta'yir. Some people begin to make al-ta'yir, insult and abuse. They say they are giving nasiha. If you want to give nasiha, there's a way to do it. Udu ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati wal maw'izati al-hasan, with good wisdom and good expressions, showing respect and honor because you want to correct the brother. There are other things around that. If you want to give nasiha, it has a way. But you go about abusing and insulting him, and then you say you are giving him nasiha, you are just deceiving yourself. So there is a big difference between the two. Likewise, when we talk about our leaders, if you want to give the leader a nasiha, there's a way to do it. If there's a way to do it between two brothers, if there's a way to do it between a child and a father, do you address your father the way you address your friend? If you want to give a nasiha to daddy, daddy, this thing, the Quran says so and so, the Sunnah says this, maybe we have to adjust it, maybe. And there's a way. In fact, there's a place to do it. Do you come in the public to start talking about your daddy? Oh, my daddy is this, my daddy is this, my daddy is this. And when someone asks you, you say, oh, I'm giving daddy advice. Do you do that? Or mommy? Mommy doesn't wear hijab. She doesn't pray at the time. She says she's cooking. She says she's doing that. You are the imam of a minbar. And you come to the minbar to say that about your mother. Is it reasonable to accept that from you as nasiha? How then do you think it is reasonable that when you come to the minbar, that is the way, the place you want to come and announce the faults of your ruler? Why is it that some, upon the minbar, you want to announce the faults of your ruler? It is just mere ta'ir. It is insult and abuse. Nothing other than that. Because if it were nasiha, nasiha has its own expressions. How to say nasiha. Nasiha has its place where you will be to say it. Likewise, imagine an imam, a khatib, on the day of Jumu'ah. He wants to advise his wife. And then he comes on the minbar, Ayyuhannas, and then he starts talking about his wife. This is from being unreasonable. And then when he was asked, he said, no, I'm giving nasiha. So nasiha is different from at-ta'yir. First point. Second point, nasiha has expressions. It has wording. It has expressions to use. Expressions you must not also use when you mention nasiha. Likewise, at-ta'yir, insult and abuse, they have their own expressions. You cannot be upon ta'yir and claim to be giving nasiha. So that's why in the early times, the way of the companions, radiallahu anhum, is that they did not use to abuse their rulers and their leaders, and they did not use to curse their rulers and their leaders. The companions, radiallahu anhum, their manhaj, their way of life, was that they did not use to abuse their rulers, neither did they use to curse their rulers. These two things have become normal. We Muslims have taken this attribute from non-Muslims to curse and abuse their rulers. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was crying when the people were abusing and insulting Uthman ibn Affan. He said, this is not our way. This is not our way. We did not use to abuse and insult our rulers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has forbidden us from doing that. Ibn Umar was weeping when people used to abuse and insult Uthman ibn Affan in the public. And that's why Anas ibn Malik also, radiallahu anhu, he said to us, Nahana kubara'una min ashabi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam faqalu lana. Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he said, Nahana kubara'una min ashabi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faqalu lana
لا تسبوا أمراءكم، لا تسبوا أمراءكم ولا تغشوهم، لا تسبوا أمراءكم. أنس بن مالك سعد رضي الله عنه نهانا كبراؤنا من أصحاب رسول الله. Our elders amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anas was a young boy. He was about 19 years old when he passed. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, he was about 9 to 10 years old when the Prophet came into Medina sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in the entirety of the 10 to 11 years that he spent in Medina alayhi salatu wasalam. In all of these times, Anas ibn Malik was in the household of the Messenger, serving him and providing his needs. So when the Prophet passed away, he was about 19 to 20 years old. He said, Nahana kubara'ina min ashabi Rasulillah. Our elders amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to prohibit us. He's referring to the likes of Abu Bakr ibn Siddiq. He was about 60 years old when the Prophet passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam. Or Abdurrahman ibn Auf, or Uthman ibn Affan, or Hassan ibn Thabit. These were elders. Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib. These were elders amongst the companions. Abbas was even older than the Prophet Muhammad by a year or two. Radiallahu anhum. These were elders amongst the companions. Omar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan. These were elders, elderly people. Abdurrahman ibn Auf. These were elders amongst the companions, radiallahu anhum. So the young ones like Anas would say, Nahana kubara'una min ashabi Rasulillah. Our elders amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would prohibit us, faqalu lana, and say to us, La tasubbu umara'akum. Don't insult and abuse your rulers. The way of the companions is that it is wrong to abuse and curse the rulers. La tasubbu umara'akum. Don't abuse and insult your rulers. Don't curse your rulers. Don't insult them. Don't abuse them. وَلَا تَغُشُّوهُمْ. Likewise, don't deceive your rulers. Don't deceive them. Don't abuse them. This was what Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, he said they learned from their kubara, from the elders amongst the companions. He said, رضي الله عنه, ولا He says, واتقوا الله واتقوا الله واصبروا. I'm reading from a text I just wrote down from my mind and I was trying to confirm from the book. This asar occurs in Shu'ab al-Iman by al-Imam al-Bayhaqi, where Anas ibn Malik said, رضي الله عنه, نهانا كبراؤنا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقالوا لنا, the elders amongst the companions of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, they would prohibit us and say to us, لا تسبوا أمراءكم, do not insult your rulers, ولا تغشوهم, likewise do not deceive them. واتقوا الله واصبروا. واتقوا الله. Fear Allah. واصبروا. And be patient. Abu Darda رضي الله عنه also used to say that أول نفاق المرء طعنه على إمامه. أول نفاق المرء طعنه على إمامه. The first show of hypocrisy of an individual is his abusing his imam, his ruler, his leader. So the companions used to prohibit it. Don't abuse your rulers. Don't insult your rulers. The point of reference here is that when we talk about Islam absolutely discouraging us from insulting and abusing the people, we know for sure, every reasonable person understands that we mustn't insult and abuse our parents. We mustn't insult and abuse people who are older than us. We mustn't insult and abuse our teachers. Men must avoid to insult and abuse their wives. Wives must insult, must avoid insulting and abusing their husbands. Also, friends must avoid to insult and abuse themselves. And all of these that we talk about, we usually underplay abuse and insulting the ruler. That is the point of reference here. We have been discouraged from abusing and insulting our rulers too. The companions, radiallahu anhum, used to prohibit the people. Don't insult and abuse your ruler. Anas said, Nahana kubara'una min ashabi rasulillah alayhi salatu salam faqalu lana. They used to prohibit us, and they would say to us, the elders, amongst the companions, La tasubbu umara'akum. Do not abuse your rulers. Do not abuse your rulers. Wa la tagushuhum. Do not deceive your rulers. But we're at a time now when, as a common way of the non-Muslims, they abuse rulers, they curse rulers. Muslims too now do it. Muslims, the khatib will come on the day of Jummah. All he has to say is abuse and insult for the ruler. And like we said, there's a very big difference between an-nasihatu and what? At-ta'ir and as-sab and la'an. All of these things are different. If it is nasiha you have for the amir, there is a way to do the nasiha. There is a way to go about the nasiha. Just as you will not come on the minbar to give a nasiha to your daddy, just as you will not come to the minbar to give a nasiha to your wife, just as you will not come to the minbar to give a nasiha to your mommy, that is the way you shouldn't come to the minbar to give a nasiha to the amir. More so when he's not on seat. If he's on seat, nasiha has expression. Nasiha has the words to employ. There are words you employ, good expressions. And even in that nasiha, just as nasiha to our parents must be devoid of insults and abuse, nasiha to rulers too must be devoid of insults and abuse. When we discuss insults and abuse and curses, we usually do not emphasize that the rulers are not exempted from our tongues being insulted against them. I think that will be sufficient on that chapter, Babul La'an, the chapter about being a regular curser, a person who curses and curses and curses. We move to the next chapter, the Ibn Allah. And that has to do with a narration regarding Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And that is Athar number 319 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. In it, he said, Babu man la'ana abdahu fa'a'taqahu. Babu man la'ana abdahu fa'a'taqahu. The chapter regarding the one who curses his slave, fa'ataqahu. And then because he cursed the slave, he did something bad. He did something negative, which is what? Cursing the slave, fa'ataqahu. He then frees the slave. He gives the slave freedom. I have made a mistake. To atone for my mistake, to cover up for my mistake, to expiate for my mistake, I leave you to go. Someone did that. And the one who did that was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentions that in Athar 319, he said, rahimahullah, haddathana Ahmad ibn Ya'qub, qala haddathani Yazid ibn al-Mikdami ibn Shuraish, an abihi, an jaddihi, qal, akhbaratni Aishatu radiallahu anha, أن أبا بكر لعن بعض ركيقه فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أبا بكر اللعانين والصديقين يا أبا بكر اللعانين والصديقين كلا ورب الكعبة مرتين أو ثلاثة فأعتق أبو بكر يومئذ بعض ركيقه ثم جاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال لا أعود ثم جاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال لا أعود لا أعود. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله mentions this أثر on the Athar 319. under the chapter heading Babu Man La'ana Abdahu. Babu Man La'ana Abdahu Fa'atahu. The chapter about the one who curses his slave. He curses his slave and then he frees him. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah reported it from his Sheikh Ahmad ibn Yaqub al-Mas'udi. Ahmad ibn Yaqub al-Mas'udi reported from his own Sheikh Yazid ibn al-Miqdam ibn Shuraykh. Yazid ibn al-Miqdam ibn Shuraykh was a very learned person. His father was very learned and his grandfather was also very learned. Shuraykh. Likewise, their great grandfather Hani was also a companion of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. So it's an isnad of a child from the father. The child, Yazid ibn al-Miqdam, his own father, al-Miqdam ibn Shuraykh, his own father, Shuraykh ibn Hani, and his own father, Hani himself, four of them, the fourth generation. They were a generation of learned people. So Shuraykh ibn Hani is the Jadd of Yazid. Shuraykh ibn Hani is the Jadd of Yazid. And he is the one reporting from our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, who said, Akhbaratni Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha narrated to me that Anna Aba Bakrin la'ana ba'da rakikihi. That Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu la'ana ba'da raqiqihi. He had to curse one of his slaves. This makes us understand that a person makes a curse once does not make him la'an. A person curses a person. It does not make him la'an. Just like Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, reported regarding Abdullah ibn Umar also, that ma ra'aytu Abdullah la'inan ahadan qattu. I'd never seen Abdullah ibn Umar la'inan ahadan qattu, cursing anyone illa wahida, except one person, laysa ahada, except one person. In another report, he says illa marrata, except once. That he cursed the person. So la'inan is different from la'an. The one who makes la'an, he just curses. Something happened and then he made a statement of a curse. This one happened a lot, especially in the likes of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. We remember the narration of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas when someone falsely accused him that he does not know how to observe salah. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said, my son, I am the fifth person to accept Islam. And I was the first person who shot an arrow upon the path of Allah. If what you say is a lie, and you know it to be a lie, and he gave him a curse, and the curse stuck to that person, because that is from the aspects of Dawah to Al-Mazlum, the curse of a person who was oppressed. So if a person was oppressed, and he gave a curse, it was lawful, and it is lawful. So that does not make him now become La'an. The La'an is the one who does it all the time. All the time. As if to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. The way we say Assalamu alaikum to ourselves and exchange the sleeves. All the time. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. All the time. That is the way some people give a curse all the time. So that they become La'anun. All the time. All the time they are making la'an. But if it happens once or some occasions, then that's not. We mentioned the case of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas was from among those the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that they'll be in Al-Jannah. Sa'd radiallahu anhu. Likewise, Sa'd ibn Zayd, one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, also crossed a woman. That woman had accused him of stealing her land and farming on it. So the companion said, will I steal a land? When I knew that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that the one who changes the posts, the pillars of a land by way of killing it to add to his own, it will be tied upon his neck in the fire. Should I now steal the land? The woman went around the town to accuse this companion that he had stolen her land that belonged to her, and that companion had changed the pillars of the land. Then that companion gave a curse that may Allah kill you on that land and bury you on that land. The woman was farming on the land one day and she fell into the well in that land and she was buried in it. So it happens like that. Something would happen and then you say something. But it shouldn't be something you do all the time. It shouldn't be something you do all the time. If someone is mazloom, someone who was oppressed now, but it shouldn't be that all the time, because you shouldn't be oppressed all the time. Should you place yourself in the position where people oppress you all the time? Should you be a person who would behave in such a way that when people remember you, because of the evil that you had done to them, they have to send curses to you all the time? Should you be that kind of a person too? So it shouldn't be like that, such that you will have to send curses to them all the time. So don't be a person who will be oppressed all the time, such that you have to say da'wah to mazloom all the time. Because by the time you begin to say the da'wah all the time, you become used to it, and it becomes a part and parcel of you too. And then you become a person who falls under this category of being a la'an. So it can happen once, twice, sometimes, with an individual. This will just be a lie, not la'an, with an intensity of a regular practice. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when he heard that Abu Bakr al-Siddiq had cursed one of his slaves, وَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَا أَبَا بَكْرٍ, O Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, أَلَّعَانِينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ, أَلَّعَانِينَ وَالصِّدِّقِينَ, أَلَّعَانِينَ, choose regular curses, people who curse people. Is it appropriate that they are siddiqeen? Is it appropriate that they are also people of truthfulness and honesty? Are these two things not contradictory? Why was the Prophet cautioning Abu Bakr al-Siddiq? So that he stops it. Because when you don't even curse at all, you do not become a lion, not to say la'an. When you don't curse anybody at all, it's better for you, because you are far away from coming into becoming a la'an. So that was what the Prophet was doing to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Because if he cursed and he allowed it, and he went on like that, it may become something that someone does. So he said to him, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-la'anina was-siddiqin, people who curse. Will they be the same persons who are people of truth and honesty? That means when you curse all the time, you'll be erring in your curse. And that makes you become a person whose statements become false. When you curse all the time, you become used to even cursing when the people do not deserve to be cursed. So you gradually lose in the category of being a person of truth and honesty. So the Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he went on and said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kalla wa rabbil kaaba, kalla, no, it can't be. People who are regular cursors, who are repeated cursors, they can't be the same people who are people of truth and honesty. Wa rabbil kaaba, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. This one happens a lot. When we speak amongst ourselves, brothers, you always hear a brother say, or a woman say, wa rabbil kaaba, wa rabbil kaaba. It was something that the Prophet used to do, alayhi salatu wasalam. We shall come back to it in this book, Al-Adabul Mufrad, when we talk about how the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he related with our mother Aisha sometimes, and he became angry, he would say, wa rabbil kaaba. And that was what he had said here to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. It is not possible that la'anin as-siddiqin, that those who regularly curse are the same people that are found upon truthfulness and honesty. Says Kalla, it is not possible. Wa Rabbi al-Kaaba, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba, marratayn aw thalatha, that the Prophet said that, alayhi salatu wasalam, either twice or what? Or three times. The Prophet was saying that, al-anina was-siddiqi, is it possible that those who are regular cursers are the same people of truthfulness and honesty? Kalla wa rabbil kaaba, kalla wa rabbil kaaba, kalla wa rabbil kaaba. The Prophet continued to repeat that either twice or thrice. Wa rabbil kaaba, he was swearing by the Lord of the Kaaba. It is not possible that when a person regularly curses, then we find him to be a person who is truthful and honest. A person who regularly curses cannot be a person of truthfulness and honesty. It will not be. A person cannot be a regular curser. And then he's a person of truthfulness and honesty, because he will curse sometimes and he will err in the judgment and then curse. But because he's used to it, so he rain curses. He will even be cursing someone that Allah is pleased with, because cursing him means begging Allah to distance that individual from his mercy. So how does that become a trait of a person who is honest when Allah is pleased with someone, and then you are cursing him that Allah should become displeased with him? How does that become? So you are the one that the matter returns onto. It returns onto you, your truthfulness and honesty begins to wane, begins to come down, because you are now cursing in error. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-la'anina was-siddiqi, can those who regularly curse, can they be ascribed to absolute truthfulness and honesty? Kalla, no, that is not possible. Wa rabbil kaaba, I swear by the Lord of the Kaaba. The Prophet repeated it, alayhi salatu wasalam, marratayn aw thalatha, two times or three times. Sahib. Another major difference between the companions radiallahu anhum and the rest of us. فَأَعْتَقَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ الصِّدِّيقِ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضَ رَكِيْتِهِ. When Abu Bakr al-Siddiq heard that, أَعْتَقَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْضَ رَكِيْتِهِ, he freed some of his slaves. He freed some of his slaves. بَعْضَ رَكِيْتِهِ, either one or some of them. He freed some of his slaves. He freed them so that it is from the aspect of following an error with goodness, with a righteous deed. And that was what the Prophet said to us, alayhi salatu wasalam. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْهُهَا. أَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ, follow is an error. Follow it with up. With what? Hasana. What will happen? تَمْهُهَا. Hasana will cancel out sayyi'a. And that's also mentioned in the Quran. وَاقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. What did Allah say? إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Because good deeds cancel out. They take away evil deeds. They cancel them out. They overweigh them. Good deeds are rewarded in manifold. Errors are written down just once. They are written down just once. But as for good deeds, they are written in manifolds, in rewards for us. So when he made that mistake, radiallahu anhu, he quickly did something from the deeds of righteousness. And this was very, very common amongst the companions, radiallahu anhu. ثم جاء النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم came, and then Abu Bakr Siddiq رضي الله عنه began to say, لا أعود, لا أعود, I will never do it again, I will never do so again, لا أعود, I will never return to it again, I will never do it again, I will never come back to it again. This is a major thing of difference between the companions and the rest of us. And that was why when in Ala Imran, Allah mentioned the people of piety, It says, وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They will not go back to a sin they committed and they had abandoned. While they know, knowingly, they will not do it knowingly. They will not go back to a sin knowingly. They will not go back to a fault knowingly. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu la'ana abdahu fa'ataqahu. He cursed his slave and then freed him out of expiation. So we should understand that the deen really, really frowns our cursing and cursing and cursing, just like it also frowns out abusing the people, belittling them, denigrating them, spiting them, bringing them down, making them a laughing stock, and all of these. These are things that are prohibited in Islam. And usually people go under the name of Nasiha. If you want to give him Nasiha, or you want to give her, your sister, Nasiha, give Nasiha with the expressions of Nasiha and in the place of Nasiha. Just like you do not come in the public to give your daddy a Nasiha. You do not come in the public to give your mommy a Nasiha. You do not come in the public to tell your wife the food that was cooked yesterday was a food that you did not like. You are the khatib of the people. And then you come to say, are you Hanas? Oh, people, especially my wife. So you should take note that the food you cooked yesterday, no reasonable person does this. The same way, we should not come upon the minbar to begin to send abuses to our rulers, to our leaders, to our scholars in the name of Nasiha. About a month or two ago, I read a brother speaking on, a cutout was sent to me about a brother speaking, saying, oh, you scholar, be careful, be this, be that. I started laughing. Look at this one. If you have a teacher, go and meet your teacher if you have a problem with your teacher and address the problem with your teacher. You come on the Facebook to address your teacher. Have you been taught at all? Or you have been taught and you have not accepted lessons. If you want to address your teacher, go to him and address him. He came to the Facebook and started saying that. May Allah protect us all. So I think people should direct advices the way advices should be. Now, see her house, it fixes itself. Go back and learn it if you want to give nasiha. Don't give a nasiha in such a way that you yourself require a nasiha. Some of the people come to abuse and insult the people in the name of nasiha. I think this is a major problem in itself. So that's why they look for a place to hide for it. They say, no, it is nasiha. If it is nasiha, it has its place. It has the words that you will employ. Where is this insult and abuse? It is insult and abuse. And even if you have an intention of nasiha, if you give it in the way of insult and abuse, you can be cautioned again. You can be giving nasiha in the way that nasiha should be given. So give nasiha, and it is from the aspect of our deen. Ad-deenu nasiha, but follow the fiqh of giving nasiha. The way you give nasiha to parents, follow your fiqh. The way you give nasiha to your wife, follow your fiqh in it. The way you give nasiha to your colleague, your friend, follow the fiqh of doing that, because all of them have their places, their rulings, and their manners. Likewise, you want to give nasiha to the ruler, follow the rulings of the Sharia about giving nasiha to the rulers. Don't go about abusing the people and cursing them and doing that under the garb of saying that you are giving nasiha. I think we can stop here today, the evening lab, before we go on to the next chapter in the next class, the evening lab. If we have one or two questions, then we can come up with them with the little time that we have, Abu Amir.
The first question here is, assalamu alaikum. What is the meaning of regularly cursing Shaitan and Fir'aun whenever they are mentioned?
Well, Shaitan is an accursed. Shaitan himself is a rajim, someone to whom or against whom we stone curses. He is a person of curse. Shaitan is a person of curse in himself. So it is not wrong to do that. If a person mentions Shaitan, the ulama has explained that one of the meanings of Ar-Rajim is that he is the one that people direct their courses onto, because he was upon sin, he's an oppressor, he's an aggressor. So the rest of the people curse him, especially when we do acts of good deeds. We make istiaza. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you against shaitan. And this shaitan is ar-rajim. So you can see that in our acts of worship. When we read the Quran, we are commanded to do that. When we're in a situation of care, we are commanded to do that. In many conditions, we are commanded to ask. In the situations of anger, we are commanded to do that. But just upon anything, a person just begins to curse shaitan, that will require us to look for an evidence for that. We have a proof to say, curse shaitan. The early Muslims used to do that. So anyone who wants to do that should please get an evidence. But if it were upon the acts of deeds that we want to perform, you want to read the Quran, you want to meet your family, you want to get into the toilet, these are situations where we seek refuge with Allah against shaitan. In the situations of fear, because from the instruments of shaitan is to direct fear to the people. Yes, we have been asked to seek refuge with Allah in all of these and refer to shaitan as ar-rajim, and he's actually ar-rajim, the one to whom curses are directed. But to say each time just the person speaks and says shaitan, he has to say la'natullahi alayhi. I have not seen this in any of the books from the early Muslims when they mention shaitan or discuss shaitan. Something similar to that is Fir'aun. If you go to books like Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya or Qisas al-Anbiya, or you go to books of Tafsir, they mention Fir'aun, and you wouldn't see them saying la'anatullahi alayhi, la'anatullahi alayhi upon each mention of Fir'aun. So we are not seeing this kind of a thing in the books of the early Muslims. Allahu a'lam.
So it's if the person who has been cursed repents from the sin or oppression he has committed and regrets his action, what can he do to relieve himself of the curse placed on him?
Well, from the things he can do is to make a lot of dua. Dua is very, very important in these matters, because the curse itself was a dua. It was dua un alayh. So he should make dua only nafsi. He should make dua for himself. He should really, really make good dua for himself. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions that the dua pushes away bala. It pushes it away if it is stronger than the bala. So he should seek a means of making very, very, very efficacious dua over a period, while also doing things like giving sadaqah. These two things put away bala a lot. They put away trials and tribulations. Dua and sadaqah. Dua and sadaqah. Unfortunately, in our own times, these are things that we are lazy at. Dua and sadaqah. I emphasize this a lot. Make a lot of dua, make a lot of sadaqah. Make a lot of dua, make a lot of sadaqah. I'm not talking about dua in terms of inviting people to come and do dua in your house, read Quran. No, you make dua yourself. Make dua yourself. Make dua yourself. Allah commands us to make dua. And He promises to punish those who do not make dua. There is a hadith, some of the scholars say that it is weak, some say that it is authentic. And what I remember now that that hadith are called Mustadrak Hakim, and Al-Imam Al-Albani breaks it, Hassan. That the one who does not make dua, man la yad'u Allah yaghdab alayh. Man la yad'u Allah. The one who doesn't make dua, Allah becomes angry with him. And in the last verse in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah said to us the importance of dua. Ma la'abaudikum rabbi lawla du'aukum. You do not amount to anything before Allah if not that you make dua. So we should make a lot of dua. Hopefully, we should learn the manners of dua that makes our dua become efficacious, and make a lot of dua. For the sake of Allah, we should be making dua a lot. From that also is that we should make a lot of sadaqah. So if a person had done something to someone requiring that he be cursed and then they cursed him, or that deserving that he may be cursed and then they cursed him, and then he goes back to return the rights to the people, he has done the first job. The other two things to avert evil from himself is to be making a lot of dua and to be full of sadaqah. To make a lot of dua and to be full of sadaqah. Abu Amir, there's a question here, and I think it's good that we talk about it. Abu Amir.
No, Ya Sheikh.
This question is regarding advice to our leaders. How about if the scholars have advised them on the mimbar without insults? If you advise the ruler on the mimbar without insult, then that is lawful. You can advise him on the mimbar in two ways. You can advise him on the mimbar without insult in two ways. The first way is that you advise him generally. Maybe you think that he stole money. That's what you think. And there are other people too who are stealing. In this country, Nigeria, they say people steal money. Yes, they steal money. Are there no other stealing money? Does a carpenter not steal when he's given a carpentry job? Does the vulcanizer not steal when he's given the vulcanizer job? The mechanic on the road, does he not remove things from the cars of the people when he's entrusted with the cars for repairs? So you can come on the mimbar to address all of them because they all fall in the same category. The carpenter has only stolen something from the car that is worth 2,500 naira because that is what he has access to. If he has access to something that is worth 10,000 naira, he will steal it too. So if the ruler has access to a billion and he steals half of a billion, then that is what he has access to. They are all thieves. They come in the same category. So if the imam wants to address the people, he can address it amata. Allah hates stealing. Allah hates thieves. In fact, in the Sharia, the punishment for stealing is that the hand should be amputated. Say this kind of a thing generally, without abuse, in a good manner, while mentioning the threats in the Sharia and the encouragement for abandoning these negative. Him, talk to him, all he has, you want to give him nasiha, even in good words, meet him privately. But there are texts that show that maybe he did something and the people need to know, but he doesn't even need to be there if you want to do it. So even if you are not what about your ruler? See the position. He's far away from you. He's not on the seat. And the people who are with you are guilty of those same things that you want to say the leader is guilty of. Why not address the people? They don't do so many things. Why get busy with one man inside Asorok? He has learned people too with him. He has learned people with him too. So you leave your people in Ketu and then you are addressing Bukhari inside Asorok. Is that a reasonable thing to do? But if he is there in front of you, you want to say that everybody feels touched by it, including he himself. And if it is something you have to do regarding in him, it's good manners. Even if the member of the tete-a-tete with him. So this thing is good like this, this thing is better like this, and then you pray for him. That is another thing in the It is not only nasiha. Giving that nasiha. Now, pray for me. So if he's telling me something now, he's telling me genuinely. So all of these things should be in place. We should be a lot of considerations before coming in the public to speak about the ruler and mention his faults and then curse him and then abuse him. And then we run back to say, no, we are making nasiha. So I hope that this matter is giving the attention that it deserves. People should not find it because it is common with non-Muslims now. So we think that it is something that is normal. It is not normal as far as Islam is concerned. We are not allowed to come in the public, then begin abusing and insulting our rulers. It is not from our religion, Islam. I hope that that will take care of that answer, inshallah. Abu Amir. Someone is asking a question. Does it mean TV programs that critique and discuss government policies and actions are wrong? If they are about policies, this policy is good, this policy is not good, those are something else. But when you direct insults to the person to the presence of the ruler, to the personality of the ruler, then that's something else also. If it is about what should be done, for example, in the times of maybe we had COVID-19, what was done, what was not done. If we do it like this, it is good. If we do it like this, it is good. That is a different thing than saying one Bukhari did one thing like this somehow. One Musa did one thing like this. And you are referring to the rulers like that? That is not proper. May Allah protect it and every one of us. I hope that is clear about Amir.
Naam, ya Shaykhana. Ahsanallahu ilayk.
Amin wa iyyakum. Can we have one more question from you before we call it a day?
All right. So someone is asking, it says, someone seeks advice on his non-praying father. He has given him nasiha for years, and the father is getting very weak physically due to age. Will the father be eligible for Salatul Janaza when he dies? Should he die on the practice of abandoning Salah?
Why was he abandoning the Salah is important. Why he was abandoning the Salah is important. If he was abandoning the Salah out of laziness, the ruling is different. If he was abandoning the Salah deliberately because he feels that the Salah is not necessary, it's just a mere burden, that is also different. If it is upon the second one, then that is kufr. It's disbelief. If he dies like that, there is no janazah. If there are people to bury him, they should. If there are no people who are available to do a burial for him, you as the child will go and you take care of the burial, inshallah. But if it was upon the first one just of laziness, maybe he will perform Salatul Fajr and he will perform Salatul Isha, or he will perform Salatul Maghrib like that, and it's not stable, and you've been telling him, Daddy, please do it. If he dies, he has died upon a major sin. That major sin is not being regular upon Salah, but you can, bi-Iznillah, also participate in preparing how he is buried. I hope that is clear, because he has died upon Islam in this second case. But in the first case that we described, someone who thinks that Salah is not compulsory on him, someone who thinks Salah is not necessary for him, someone who thinks that Salah is a mere burden, these are statements of kufur. These are statements of disbelief that expels something, a person, from Islam. So we should be careful about the difference between the two and handle them as is appropriate. So we have a lot of efforts to make on the parents. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this brother who has given this complaint, may Allah allay his fears and bring his father to come upon regular salah and established iman. I beg Allah to make that father end upon iman and the rest of us.
Amen, ya Sheikh. Amen.
We stop here today. Amen.
Naam, ya Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.